16, Matthew chapter 16. This evening's message will be a little bit of a topical message, but it will be something I think will be an encouragement and help to you. As last Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about things happening around the cross. And we talked about that statement that was said, what the religious leaders had told Jesus, he saved others, but himself he could not save. And we looked at that and we thought about that, how the reason why he was able to save himself, but he could not save himself and also save us. And we looked at that. Hope you enjoyed it. I know that that is a thought that I enjoy. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that, I'm sure it's online somewhere. We're going to look at another thing that's going around the cross and near the cross. And but we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 16. One of the things that I enjoy about not only Christmas, but also Resurrection Sunday or the events leading up to it as you study the life of Christ is the prophecy that's fulfilled and some of these different things that happen. You know all the different prophecies, and we looked at that before when Christ came, when he was born in Bethlehem, and also there's different prophecies that are fulfilled the week leading up to the death on the cross, and then also him passing away and dying on the cross, and then him raising again. And the thought of the whole point is, the title of the message is, God will take care of the details. And the main thought behind the message is, if we will just learn to trust him and obey him, we don't have to know everything that's going to happen in the end. We don't know how everything is going to work out. We like to know that. Sometimes when you're working with someone, sometimes there are people that have certain personalities that are not very laid back, and they want to know all the details ahead of time and figure everything out and make sure that you have a safe landing. Everything's got to be perfectly in place. And then there's others over here that could care less about the details and how everything works out. It doesn't really matter. But we know that if God is in control and we believe God's in control and we believe that he came, he prophesied many of these things and he worked out all the details in his birth and he worked out all the details in his death, it teaches us something about being surrendered to him. And as we're surrendered to him, we can say, God, I can trust you with all the details of my future. I think if you look at some of these Bible characters and how some of the things worked out, I think they would have looked at it and said, wow, I wish I would have done things differently. And if we think about our own stories, I know in my life and my own story, I never imagined that God would work it out, that I would be in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, even though he called me to preach at a probably as a young teenage boy. I never really imagined how God would have taken me through all the different things in my life, all the ups, all the downs, all the things he was writing a story, the story of who. And as I surrendered my life, I wish I would have surrendered a long time ago. I wish at 13 or 14, I would have spent my entire life just studying and training for the ministry. So the time I got to become being used even as a young person, and I did some of those things. Don't get me wrong, is I worked in junior church from I was 12 all the way up to 29, and I taught adult Sunday school class, and I taught other, I did those things, but I wasn't truly always surrendered. There are things in our lives and times we took things out of our schedules and say, I don't see how God's going to answer that or how God's going to meet that need. So because I don't see how God's going to meet that need, I'm going to help God out a little bit. I'm going to make this decision. I remember when I was graduated from high school, I didn't have a lot of money for college, didn't pretty much have any money for college. And when I was about getting ready to graduate from high school, getting ready to turn 18 in August, I was deciding about college and what I was going to do for college and where I was going to do college. And then the restaurant I worked at, the owner there offered me the job to be an assistant manager. I wasn't even 18 at the point in time. And the money he gave us in my mind was, wow, that's a huge amount of money for a teenager. I can work for a year, save a whole year and not have to worry about struggling in college as much. And that's what you always think, right? That's what you're always going to. I never asked the Lord. And then I ended up staying 2 years. And then the next year when I thought about coming, and he asked me if I wanted to be the manager and different other things like that. And so it was just different steps that God, I don't know how you're going to provide for my finances. So God, instead, I'm going to just work so I can earn the money so I can get through college. And I know I can get through college without stopping. Well, none of that happened. Well, it's because I thought I knew better than God. I thought I knew what was going to happen. I knew all the details and I was going to work it all out. But if I would have just taken my hand off the situation and said, okay, Lord, I need you to lead me. I need you to direct me, but I'm going to trust you with my life. And here we're going to look at a couple things, and hopefully the message makes sense in the end, because we know that that week of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, there's a surrendering that happens. And obviously Jesus has always surrendered, but even in the garden, we remember when he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And we all look at that and say, that's not what we should be praying. That's what we should be saying. Not my will, Lord, but yours. And here, you're going to see here first in Matthew chapter 16, you're going to see here a time when one of his disciples, and we probably all know who that disciple is, and the fact he was the one that was outspoken, rebukes Jesus and tells Jesus, no, that's not the way it's going to be. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 16. Let's look in verse 21. Matthew 16, verse number 21. Actually, let's go up a little bit farther in Matthew 16, and let's look at verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" Now, we're going back this far. We're not going to spend that much time here, because in Mark, we're going to get to this part of the story, but I want you to recognize what's being said here. "And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?'" So there's a question in verse number 10. What does everybody think? Who do everybody think that I am? But the question that you must answer, and the question that must be in your heart, in your mind, who is Jesus Christ to you? Because you can say, well, this person thinks you're a prophet. This person thinks you're a good man. This person thinks you're a lunatic. This person thinks this. No. You have to answer for yourself. "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered. Now listen, Simon Peter, he says, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah," okay, "the Son of the living God." And that he was saying he was God that came in the flesh. He was God's son. And now look at the response. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" And we're going to look at that in a few weeks in the Gospel of Mark, so we're not going to spend a lot of time there, but continue on. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then charged he the disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." So we see what's happening there. Jesus responds to Peter's confession that he is Christ. He doesn't say, no, I'm not God. And if he was, if he was a good man, and if he wasn't God, what would he say? Hey, don't worship me. I'm just some. No, he doesn't say that. He always, and throughout the scriptures, you see it over and over. He was God. He took the worship as if he was God. He states that he was God throughout the Gospels. So, Pastor, okay, we get this. What does this have to do with anything? Well, look what it says in verse 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." So in Peter's plan and in Peter's timing over here, he's good with, "You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God." Because their anticipation is that he's going to rule and he's going to reign. He's going to have the kingdom and they're going to reign with him. But in verse 21, he begins to describe what God's will is. Peter does not understand that. Peter does not see that happening. Peter recognizes that he's the Christ, that he's the Messiah, that he's the one they've been looking for. And this was not part of Peter's plan. Because he could not see it, because he could not understand it, Peter then, it says in verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.'" Now, it's amazing how one side of his mouth, he's saying that thou art the Christ, in verse 16, the Son of the living God. And just a few moments later, he's telling God, that ain't going to happen. Now, so this is the point of the message, is God will take care of the details. We must learn to be surrendered to him and must learn to just obey him, even though we might not always understand. I think Peter is one of those guys that later on, he looked back on his life or looked back after Pentecost and looked back after the church and said all these things. He would look back and say, boy, I wish I would have done things different. I wish I would have trusted him. I wish he would say something like, I wish I would have kept my mouth shut there because I could have learned something. I could have been better prepared for that night. Maybe he would have prayed for the hour that Jesus had asked him when he said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Maybe he would not have denied him around that fire if he would have learned and took heart. And there are a lot of times things in our life that we face and problems that we have because we don't trust in him, and because we don't trust in him, our life sometimes turns out not the way it could have or should have. Look what it says in verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a pretty big rebuke there. He's talking to Peter. He's saying, Peter, you're being the mouthpiece of Satan. And look what he says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So my encouragement to you tonight is, let's savor the things of God. Let's see some of the different illustrations in one of the stories that shows the surrendered attitude and the obedience, even though they might not have been able to see how everything was going to work out, but they followed the Lord's commands. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And I don't think these words are being said after what Peter had said and what Jesus had said, verse 23. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think every word of the Bible is inspired and is there on purpose and for a reason. And Peter was trying to save his life. Peter was trying to save the idea of what he thought was going to happen. This was in his mind. This is how it has to happen. This is the way it's going to figure out. But no, he lost the things that he should desire the most, which is savoring the things of God. It says in verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So verse 27, he's saying everything's under control. Even if I have to go, as he talked about in verse number 21, he began to show unto them how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That was a hard thing for people to swallow. I don't understand why this has to happen. I don't see it. Of course, Peter didn't see the cross. Peter didn't understand his need. Now, looking back, what Peter said, I'm thankful he died for me. I'm sorry that I said those things. Of course he would. But here in this thing, in verse 27, he's going to take care of all the details. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So I want you to understand here, there are times in our life as we see this, we are praising him over in verse number 16. Your Lord, your Messiah, I want to worship you, I want to serve you. And then when he tells us something like he does in verse 21 that we particularly don't enjoy or don't want to be a part of or don't think should happen, don't understand what he's doing, we said, no, that can't happen. No, it can't be like that. And I want you to understand, and this is something I had to get in my mind and had to get in my heart, God will take care of the details. All I need to do is obey. All I need to do is trust. Now, this happened before that most, what some would call the most important week of all human history, when Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. So let's jump forward here a little bit of time and go to Matthew chapter 26. So in Matthew chapter 26, you're going to see that Peter doesn't learn his lesson. And once again, this is going into after the institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus tells him again in verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Matthew 26, verse 31. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, they have just learned that someone's going to betray Christ. They have just heard that Peter, they're getting ready to hear that Peter is going ready to deny Christ. instead of asking the question and saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't think I would ever be offended by you. Tell me what I need to do. Help me to learn. Help me to grow from this. I don't want that to happen. You're saying it's going to happen. Show me, is this okay? They don't learn because they have something in their mind. Look, it says in verse 32, but after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And I think he's being sincere there, but he doesn't realize God's taking care of the details. This is something that would happen. And it even says in verse 31, one of the things that was prophesied, it says, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. The details are being taken care of. And Peter's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be part of that. I would never allow that to happen. We must learn to believe what God says and trust to him to take care of the details. Look what it says in verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crew, thou shalt obey me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So why do we do that? To make Peter look bad? No. We showed that many times in our hard-headed mentality, we think we know the way exactly everything is going to work out. And when it takes a little bit of a turn to a left or takes a little bit of a turn to the right or it drops completely out, we get worried and we say, no, I would never do that. I would never say that. I'd never be a part of that. We must realize that, hey, God, I'm trusting you here. All I am doing is taking it step by step, moment by moment, living for you and trusting you with my life. So now let's look at some of these examples of one part of the story where some things were surrendered. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and I know what some of you are going to think about this. This is the time when Jesus is getting ready to ride in on the triumphal entry, and there's a story here. It's a simple story. And it's something that I remember reading through the first time or hearing the thought about it. And it's like, that's neat. And it's talking about the donkey, talking about the colt. And it's showing you the authority that God has and how he's working out the little details. And in these little details, he is fulfilling scriptures that are found in the Old Testament. And he is working every detail out here. And there's three different people I want you to see in this story that were committed and that were surrendered to him, even though it might not have made sense to him. Look what it says in verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 21. Verse number 1, and when they drew nigh into Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter